It's 8:20, and Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. And this morning, our guest is Grant Merritt, the author of Iron and Water, My Life Protecting Minnesota's Environment. Well, good morning, Grant. Thank you for joining us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Grant Merritt is originally from Duluth and, in fact, is a UMD alum with a degree in political science, a double minor in business and economics, and Air Force ROTC. And you have had quite a storied career. Grant Merritt here served as executive director of the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, was a member of the first board of the Minnesota Environmental Quality Council, and was Minnesota's representative on the Great Lakes Water Quality Board. And you're an attorney in the areas of environmental law, transportation, and governmental relations for more than 50 years. What a career. And I'm hoping you have retired.
Yes, I'm still going.
Well, your book, Iron and Water, is My Life Protecting Minnesota's Environment, is really an incredible chronicle and really a tribute for all of us. It is just a public service that you shared this memory. Your memoirs is much more of a public record.
Well, it was nice to do that. It took me about 9 years to put it together while I was working and doing other things, of course. But it's well worth the effort when you get done and you get a chance to talk about it around the state, which is what I'm doing.
So you have shared a lot of the information of your career. Well, this is really about kind of the first the environmental battles that have happened. Post-industrial era, there was just a lot of kind of unruly industrialists out there, and it took a lot of organizing and leadership to change that. And you were a big part of that. That's the story that I got.
Well, I did two things with this book. One is I corrected historical inaccuracies in my family's discovery of the Mesaba Iron Range and their work to build the railroad, which they did from Mount Iron down to Duluth and then the ore dock. And then they were, as the Minneapolis Tribune said in their book review of my book, they were swindled by John D. Rockefeller, the greatest of all the robber barons. So I've tied that in to my career fighting reserve and a lot of environmental cases, primarily on the grounds that of the perseverance that was required in both of those cases. So I was able to do that and get a very good publisher, the University of Minnesota, to publish the book. And I'm very grateful for that.
Well, the lion's share of the book really is that chapter. You do go into a wonderful family history about the Merritt family and the Mesaba Range. But the gripping part of the book is that environmentalism and the reserve mining controversy.
Sure.
And that was a very large part of your career. Talk about moving slowly through a committee. That it's an understatement.
That's right. We started 1967, up the North Shore at East Beaver Bay, where my uncle got me very alarmed by what the reserve was doing. They were not only dumping taconite tailings in the lake, but they were dumping oily rags and calcium chloride and other pollutants in two great big launder chutes, they called them. And they were claiming that all of that will go to the bottom of the Great Trough, 900 feet down. And, of course, that was hoodwinking, as I like to put it, because the permit that was granted back in 1947 by the state of Minnesota clearly said that the discharge could not exceed 9 square miles, 3 miles out, 3 miles across, and within a year or two, the tailings were exceeding that, and the state never did anything about it. You can have a permit, but if it's not enforced, that doesn't do much good to combat the pollution. So that's how I got started, and I moved into Duluth, and we had some very important hearings in Duluth, six of them, as a result of the federal law that mandated these enforcement conferences. And that led to Bill Ruckelshaus, the EPA administrator, starting the federal lawsuit that went before Judge Lord, Judge Miles Lord, and the case before Lord went on for 9 months, the longest of all the environmental cases to date. And that, of course, became nationally recognized as a big case, and we finally were successful. But it took 13 years from the time I started in 67 to 1980 before the company finally went on land at the Milepost 7 tailings pond.
What an incredible battle. And that is what you get in the book, Iron and Water. The details of the incredible denial and other things that before you were part of the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, you were part of this, and there was a lot of pushback even from the, quote, environmentalists working with the state.
Well, we had good support up there at the hearings from Duluthians like Dave Zentner and Dale Olson, Dr. Dale Olson of the Political Science Department at UMD, and Arlene Leto and a group that we formed called Save Lake Superior Association. And those proceedings captured the interest of Minnesotans and others beyond Minnesota because of the kind of tactics that Reserve used. And one thing that I was very proud of, I hired three law students from the University of Minnesota in 1970, this is before I went to the PCA in 71, to write a book called Superior Polluter. And they were able to discover a phony model tank exhibit that Reserve put on, which purported to show that all the tailings would go down to that great trough that I mentioned. But it wasn't an accurate depiction of what would happen. The tailings were too heavy, the water was the wrong temperature. So that was just one thing. Another thing that was unfortunate back to the 1947 state hearings on Reserve's predecessor, Olga B. Norton, the lawyer from Duluth, William Montague, hired a professor from the University of Minnesota in Minneapolis. And he was to study what would these tailings do to the fish and the fish industry along the North Shore, lake trout and herring and whitefish. And Dr. Eddy did the study, and the study showed there would be a major disruption and pollution of the fish. And Montague had the written report, never introduced it, had Eddy come to the hearing, and then never called him to testify.
Oh.
That's typical of what they were doing back in those days. And here was a prominent lawyer from Duluth who was on the Board of Regents after that of the Minnesota, University of Minnesota. So, and that was the firm that then Ed Freedy took over from Montague. And he was the lawyer for Reserve during these Lake Superior hearings that we had in Duluth and in the case before Judge Lord.
Well, I'll quote you from your book. It's, you say, polluting industrialists were attempting to control our regulatory agencies and suppressing government reports. They are experts at foot-dragging and hedging.
That's what I said.
It's still true today, isn't it?
Yes, right. Unfortunately.
Well, there are so many environmental concerns still on the table today, And I can imagine in your shoes that it's hard to sit back and watch. So you still are active, whether it's the introduction of copper nickel mining in Minnesota and what that looks like if it's then permitted, then any fight or any problems later can be decades in the resolution, as we learned from your book.
That's true. And however, because I fought reserve, a lot of people they think I'm anti-mining. Well, I happen to be from a mining family. I'm not
right.
Anti-mining. I think that it can be done properly and with good controls. If you have enforcers and regulatory groups that will enforce the regulations. So I watch what's going on, and I think, there's a big demand for copper, so we've got to handle this correctly, and I think so far it's been studied pretty thoroughly.
And then we
at least the one called Polymet, and that the one up at Ely is going to take a lot longer.
Right. And then you also mentioned about a recent conference about shipping oil on the Great Lakes.
Yes, that's right. Well, the last thing I did as a PCA chief was to call a conference. It's called Lake Superior, a Resource Imperiled, and I was just reading the very thorough transcript of the proceedings we had, and it was held in Duluth in March of 1976, and that's where Dr. Dale Olson testified, and one of the great things that Duluth provided for the reserve case was Dale Olson on our board. He always supported the right thing to do on the environment. And he never got much credit for it because of the politics of it. He did a good job, and he testified in this hearing with specific references to a case I'd forgotten about. There was a ship called the Torrey Canyon, which was hauling oil. This is before the Exxon Valdez up in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And he references that and books that have been read about transshipment of oil on the oceans, and then how Lakehead Pipeline, which is now Enbridge, proposed doing that very thing. It's kind of ironic. We had a conference down here, which I attended, and I met the president of Enbridge. I said, I know that you folks are considering shipping oil, your oil that comes in by pipeline to Superior, out on Lake Superior. Oh no, no, we don't plan to do that. Well, Dale spells out the exact plan that Lakehead Pipeline had back in the 70s. So I really think he should get more credit than he has. And by the way, the other thing that I wanted to mention is that I have in my book, you read, I'm sure, about Bill Krueger from KDAL, which was the big radio station mm-hmm. there in Duluth. And Bill Krueger interviewed me, and then he sent me the tape of that. So then I used that tape in my book, which was fun. Krueger was a very good announcer. And I remember going to a class on careers at Duluth Central, where I went to high school. So it was a senior day of studying what you wanted to do for a career. And Bill Krueger spoke for an hour, and it was quite obvious from what he said that he wanted to move up and take Ed Murrow's position on CBS.
That's right.
But he never made it quite that far.
Right. Well, you did graduate from Central High in 1951. And what a joy to have you back here on Duluth Public Radio.
Thank you, and I'm glad to do that for my alma mater. I speak very highly, as you know, in the book about my education up there and also all the extracurricular activities I was in.
Well, your education clearly led to an incredible career, and you can find it all in Iron and Water. Grant Merritt, thank you so much for sharing your time with us this morning.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely. Iron and Water, My Life Protecting Minnesota's Environment by Grant Merritt, is by University of Minnesota Press. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.